Yeah, I already talked to him. I'm going to use him in my sermon. Don't care if I met you 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago. All right. Well, hello. Long time no see. So, I just want to share a little bit of our friend here, our brother in Christ, Kamari. He gave his life to Christ recently. And he did it by just reading the Bible. So it tells me that God really doesn't need us. He just chooses to use us. And that's okay. So, Kamari, welcome. We are glad you're here. I want to tell you something. Don't lose your smile and your enthusiasm. It's really needed. It really is, especially in this world. So, anyways, I'm going to use him a little more. You know, as preachers, we use whatever we can for examples. So, all right, so John Marks had asked me if I would go ahead and teach on Isaiah, the 12th chapter. And I said, sure. And he said, there's only six verses. Said, cool. It'll be a quick study. Yeah, you're right. It's not going to be a quick study. I am a preacher, so I got several closings I'm allowed to do. Yep. So anyways, when I started reading this, it was pretty fascinating for a couple reasons. One, it's a psalm right in the middle of Isaiah. But it's a song I learned here at Calvary Chapel. When you read this one, Jim sings it here quite a bit on Wednesday nights. I thought, wow, that's really cool. And then that beat stuck in my head. And so I wanted to figure out, how did he get here? So understand, chapters and verse were given later date. So we're going to take a look at this from chapter 1 to chapter 12, okay? Because we're going to take out all the chapters and all that, and just remove them out of the way because that's how it was originally written. But I just want to highlight some of the things from chapter 1 through chapter 11. So you can follow me with this one. Chapter 1, God talks about the wickedness of Judah. Not very good news, but God talks about the wickedness of Judah. In chapter 2, he talks about the future house of God and the day of the Lord. Some better news, but there's judgment there too. In 3, it's the judgment upon Jerusalem and Judea, or Judah. In 4, he talks about the renewal of Zion. In 5, God's disappointing vineyard. Injustice, oppression, and judgment. Israel isn't doing what God had called them to do. God had a plan and purpose for them. Instead, they weren't paying much attention to God. We as the church have to pay attention to the Word of God. Keep an ear open to what God has to say. Israel and Judah blew it. We don't want to be the people of God that blew it. Okay? So now there's God's disappointment of his vineyard. And then chapter 6, God's calling on Isaiah to be a prophet. God said, I made you for this purpose. You're a prophet. In 7, Emmanuel prophecy with us. Emmanuel means God with us. So it's a prophecy of the future coming, Jesus. And then we get to 8. And God said, Assyria will invade this land. You're going to be judged for your wickedness. Tell people all the time, whatever man sows, he reaps. So if your harvest is at your own hands, it's your fault, not God's, not mine. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. So sow love, kindness, meekness, temperance, self-control, and you'll have a happy life. The seeds you sow are your harvest. It's that simple. Israel and Judah sowed their seeds. God said, because of it, now judgment is coming on you. Ironically, Assyria was way more wicked than Judah and Israel, but they'll get theirs too. All right? So then we get to chapter 9, and it said, the government of his son, for unto us a child is given. Powerful. Chapter 9. God says, future, my son's coming. Chapter 10, more punishment and judgment. And chapter 11, the offspring of Jesse. So we're going to touch on that a little bit here, and then we'll get to chapter 12, because I want you to pay attention to some of this stuff. because remember, there wasn't chapter and verse. So I can see Isaiah listening to God, and he's jotting down right to left, because that's how they wrote back then. He's jotting down the word of God and what God's telling him. And then he, to me, I think when he went back and he reread this, he was like, wow. Wow. And I think that's what the church needs to say, is wow. Look what the Lord has done for us. So let's pay attention. In the 11th chapter, it says, the reign of Jesse's offspring. And tonight I'm actually reading out of, I believe it's a Spirit-filled, yeah, it's a New King James. And it said, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by his sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with iniquity for the meek on the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And let's go down, because I wanted to read. Let's see if I can find it here. I didn't want to go over everything John did, but let's just take a look at that. It says, let's go to verse 6. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. Okay, so what I want to show you a picture here is, first we got to understand who Jesse was. Jesse is the father of King David. At this time in Israel, their future looks dim at best. God said there's judgment that's already happened to Israel. Judah's next. You'll be removed from the land. There's no hope there. There's now gloom and despair. But when he gets to this part, he said, Jesse's branch. What God is telling him is there's future hope for Israel. I'm not done with Israel. It's not over yet. Because Isaiah gets to this part and he's probably thinking, where's the hope for us? But he reads here that Jesse, a branch, is coming forth. He knows that God is not done with Israel. There's still a hope in the future for his people. I can see Isaiah writing chapter 1 and chapter 3 and just thinking of all the punishment coming on to God. But now all of a sudden he reads about a little bit of hope. And then he reads about peace on earth. The lion laying down with the lamb, or the wolf laying down with the lamb. And he sees there's going to be a time where there's peace on the earth. Have we had peace so far? So he can see that there's a future coming. And all of a sudden he gets excited about that. He goes, wait a second. God hasn't forgotten Israel. If a branch is coming out of Israel, there's hope for Israel. That hope is Jesus Christ still today. It's the hope of all mankind. So now he's thinking, okay, not all's lost. God said a branch coming out of David. That means the kingship of David isn't at an end. If the kingship of David isn't at an end, that means there's a future for us. There's a hope for us. Israel's going to survive this. And then he goes, there's peace on earth. Interesting. So let's take a look at what he says in this psalm, because it's a hymn of praise or a psalm, and you'll recognize it. And it says, in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you are angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. And pay attention next year. Behold. That's what that word means. It means behold. He's saying, paying attention to what I'm saying to you. Behold what's going to happen. He now gets excited. Like Kamari came up, and he was excited for getting saved. Isaiah is now excited. He goes, I know not all's lost. There is a hope and a future. Not all is lost in your situation. There is still a hope in the future. We haven't arrived yet. We are just ambassadors passing through. There is trials and tribulations and trouble that come our way. But understand, we don't arrive till we get upstairs. Isaiah is saying, behold, pay attention to what I'm saying, behold, in excitement. Now he's praising God. Watch what he goes on to say. He said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You remember that song Jim sings? God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid for the Lord. Remember that song? I learned that song here. And I probably read it a dozen times here, but I never really paid attention to it. But he's saying, I will trust and not be afraid for Yah, sacred name of God, Yahweh or Yah, the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. All right. Yahweh is God. So remember that. That's the name of God. Salvation is through his son, Jesus. He comes out of that branch of Jesse. Through the line of David comes Christ. He understands that though God was angry with me and you for our sins, that anger now flips when we become born again. Do you follow me there? He knows there's punishment for Israel, but now he knows there's a hope and salvation through him, through the Son. Isaiah had a relationship with God in the Old Testament. That's how Isaiah was saved. The people in the Old Testament that were saved had a relationship with God. Now, if I'm wrong, pay attention to Abraham. Abraham believed God and was credited to him as what? Righteousness. That's what it took. He had a relationship with God. And now, Isaiah realized, not all hope's lost. God was once angry. But when that branch comes out of Jesse, I now have salvation. The anger has now turned. All of us needed a Savior. Isaiah realized he too needed a Savior. And now he understands God is providing that Savior through the branch of David. And now he's shouting out, behold! And he's telling Israel, pay attention. God is my salvation. I can't make it on Dwayne's merit. I don't have a chance. I need a Savior. Isaiah found his. Question is, have we found ours? That's the bottom line. Isaiah goes, behold, I found my salvation. It's not in me, it's in my God. Yahweh will provide. He always has. Let us continue. Okay. And he goes on. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention of his name. His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord. Praise and worship. For he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. Is in your midst. Isaiah got it. It seems like he struggled with the first part. I know Israel's getting judged. And I know they're going to get punished. And I know God's angry. But God has provided us a way out. He provided us a way out through that branch that the world so desperately needed. That branch is, of course, Jesus. So I want to share a couple things. When I was reading this, we know Isaiah had a different viewpoint than us. We're on this side of the cross. He was on the other side of the cross. So all he's doing right here, he's taking God at his word. God said, hey, a branch is coming forth. Isaiah says, Israel's okay. We have to remain if the branch is coming out of the line of David. We won't be completely wiped out. You remember how Jim always talks about that remnant? God says, I still got a remnant in Israel. And now Isaiah has the word of God and he says, now I know. I know it's okay. Because God said in his word, here comes a branch out of Israel. It's coming out of David. So we might go in captivity, but on the other side, it's Christ. When we're in sin, we're in captivity. But when we give our life to Christ, we come out of captivity. We now don't have to live according to the flesh, because God has given us the Spirit. Does that make sense? So that's what Isaiah is saying. Isaiah says, I am now excited. Behold, God has provided the Lamb. I'm saved. He was angry, but I know there's salvation. Do you know God ain't angry with you no more if you're born again? Can't love you anymore, won't love you any less. Amazing. So in Colossians 11:15, it says, because of his reign, let's turn there. First Colossians, it's right after, what is it? Yeah, General Electric Power Company. That's what I was looking for. General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians. It's how I remember those books in order. And then Thessalonians after that. I'm getting close. But here in Colossians, Paul makes a statement that I really, really enjoyed. And it's chapter 11. I'm sorry, chapter 1. There is an 11 in Colossians. If it is, it's still going. So chapter 1, verse 15. We might have to back up one more verse. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Speaking about Jesus. He is God, Emmanuel, with us. The invisible God is now made flesh. He dwelt on this earth. People seen him. All right? For by him all things were created that are in the heavens and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. All right? Jesus was with God in the beginning. We got to establish who Jesus is. It's easy to look at Jesus as the Son of God. It's easy to look at Jesus as man, but he was much God as he was man. Understand that. The cross, he said, I will accept it because it's my Father's will. He said, I don't have to. He said, I can call down angels. I can be removed. I don't need this. But he always did the will of his Father. But Jesus is God. Too many times we look at him as man. We look at him as Savior. But I want you to get the picture of this. Isaiah now understands that the Savior is God's Son. Remember it said God with us? It said he was born of a virgin. And now he's saying he's coming out of Jesse. And Isaiah says, thank you, God, because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know I'm okay. Seems like a simple psalm, but he's saying, look, behold, I'm trying to tell you guys good news. We're going to be okay through this. God has us. He knew the remnant was coming. Think about if you lost everything you ever had. And God decided he's just going to wipe out America. And he gave you a dream over it. And he told you that America's going to be gone. Nobody left. It'd break your heart. I could see Isaiah's heart breaking through this. And then God gives him this hope. Not only is Emmanuel going to be with you, not only is he going to be a virgin birth, but I tell you what, he's coming out of the line of David. There's a future hope for Israel. In Revelations, guess who that future hope is? Jesus. God has not forgotten Israel, but he loves you just the same. God has not forgotten Israel. In verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. In Ephesians 5:5-6, it says, for out of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person in idolatry, has any inheritance with the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes unto those that are disobedient. In other words, we need a Savior. We have a Savior. The world needs a Savior. You have the message. It's Christ. You found the message simply by picking up your Bible. You found the message. I need a Savior. The world needs a Savior. Isaiah understands this. He now says, not all's lost. We're okay. Because on the other side of God's wrath is God's love. That love came on that cross. Couldn't love you anymore. He will not love you any less. The wrath is not appointed unto the church. Remember that. There is judgment for whatever man sows. I talked to a guy that went to prison. He shot another guy. Got born again. And I was called to go meet with him in prison, or jail actually, and I went to meet with him. And I told him, God loves you. He loves you so much he gave his son. But understand, you committed the crime. Whatever you sow, there's punishment for. He loves you. But don't think you're going to walk out of here scot-free. I got to write a letter to the judge. And the judge said, you know, I hear how you turned your life around, but when I come to court, everybody here is born again, and everybody here is Christian. He goes, but you still squeeze the trigger. You still got to do the time. If you're sowing seeds, you will reap that harvest. God loves you, but your punishment will come. And unfortunately, I love the kid. He was a good kid. If he wasn't drinking, he probably wouldn't have squeezed the trigger. But he did. But for us, you'll have the punishment, but it doesn't mean God loves you any less. And what I'm trying to tell you is pick up your Bible. Find out what God wants in your life. Isaiah's now starting to figure out. Isaiah says, God, I see your judgment, and I see your punishment. And then he says, I see your hope. I see your love. I understand the flip side of God's anger. There's peace and love. Careful what you sow. Tell that to people all the time. I tell it to unsaved people. When they say, well, this is going bad, that's going bad. What are you sowing to reap your harvest? Understand, that's important. If I could teach, I told my kids, if you learned anything through your dad other than Christ crucified for your sins, understand, you will, whatever you sow, you will reap. Careful what seeds you plant. The church, for years, has planted the wrong seeds. We preach condemnation instead of God's love and mercy. Gospel means good news. It means simply this, come home, all's forgiven. God said, I will wipe the slate free. The punishment my son took, his blood will cover your sins. But careful what you do. Treat people with respect. Be kind, loving to one another and to a lost and hurting world. Plant seeds of kindness, meekness, temperance, love, self-control. And I promise you, you will reap a harvest of joy, peace, and love. So anger, wrath, bitterness, unforgiveness, and you'll hate life. Does that make sense? I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. In Jeremiah 31, 33, it says this, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declare the Lord. I will put my law, his word, within them, and I'll write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God hasn't forgotten Israel. I know we're now living in the church age, but you can take God's promises to the bank. Isaiah understood this. He understood that God was not going to forsake him. Doesn't matter what you're going through, God has not forsaken you. Look up, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. If you need to be carried, he'll carry you through. Hebrews 12:11, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. In other words, there's a difference between judgment and discipline. God says he disciplines those he loves. As growing up in the Lord, I got saved in 1987. Through the years, God trained me and discipline came, and some things I didn't like to go through, I went through. Some was well deserved. I can tell you this, every bit of it I needed. God is the perfect heavenly Father. Whatever you're going through, he will help you through it. But you got to keep your eyes on the cross. If you walk away, discipline never seems fun when it's happening. It is necessary. It matures the believers. God has shown me so much. He's disciplined me. He's told me before to apologize to people, all kinds of stuff. You have a choice. I tell this to people all the time. Do it your way or do it God's way. If you do it God's way, life is so much sweeter than if you do it your way. All right? Israel kept doing it their way and their way. And God kept warning and kept warning. And then punishment came. They weren't disciplined. They were punished. Big difference. But God said, even though I punished you, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. To me, that's amazing, because we're looking at what Israel did and the kings that came out of that line. I'm sure Isaiah said, great, we have Ahab, we have Ahaz, we have Jezebel, we have all these horrible kings coming up. And I'm sure he knew that God was just and his punishment was right. But then he read, God hasn't forgotten me. He hasn't forgotten you. In Romans 5:1, where he said, surely, or behold, NIV says surely. I don't like the name surely. I like behold. It's making a statement. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The place of peace and trust and no fear comes only from seeing our salvation in God and not in ourselves. How many times do you hear people say, I'm a good person? Have you ever heard that phrase? Yeah. Well, I'm a good person. You're trusting in yourself, not in God. I can tell you, I'm a slime ball. I needed a Savior. He reached down and touched me. I accepted him. That's salvation. Don't trust in your own works. Doesn't it say all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? See, we want to compare ourselves to the rapist, the murderer, the thief. But we don't want to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ that knew no sin. Quit comparing yourself to the criminal that God loves. Compare yourself to Jesus and tell me how you stack up. I don't stack up real well. But I don't have to. Thank you. Say it again. We don't have to. Don't have to. I needed a Savior. God gave me a way out of my sin. Isaiah can see a way out for Israel's sin. And he's excited. He's wrote what we'd call 11 chapters. And then I think he went back to 12 and he goes, what? God has not forsaken me. He hasn't forsaken Israel. And he gets excited. And he wants to shout out and he yells, behold, pay attention. God has not forsaken us. And he still hasn't today. We reject God, but he has never rejected anybody that came to him. But we have rejected him. Okay, then he goes on, for Yah, the Lord, himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Is he yours? Bottom line, is God your salvation? Behold, the psalmist wants worshipers to see what he is saying is true. Jesus' name means the Lord saves. His name says it all. The Lord saves. We don't pay attention that all them names in Israel, like Bethel, house of God, Bethesda, house of mercy, or Bethsaida, sorry, Bethlehem, house of bread. Jesus, the Lord is my, or the Lord saves, or the Lord is my salvation. We're on this side of the cross. I give some of them guys in the Old Testament breaks because they're on the other side of glory. But I've noticed over the years, the more I read, the more I understand, the wicked kings always did things their way. Yep, they chose to. The godly king did it God's way. Israel was blessed and prospered doing it God's way. They were always in trouble doing it their own way. Our lives are better when we do them God's way. And we're always in trouble when we do it our way. Simple. Don't sow the seeds you don't want the harvest. When I learned that, I was God spoke to me with this guy screaming in my face, yelling at me. He wasn't mad at me, he was mad at why he was there. I was a parts manager, parts clerk actually, at a truck auto. And all of a sudden I see his mouth moving, but God's speaking to me. He said, he's not angry at you, he's angry at what brought him here. He goes, remember, a soft word turns away wrath. Don't take it personally. And by that time, my ears come back to this guy, and he stops. I looked at him, I said, well, how can I help you? Now he's embarrassed. And he looks down, he's got his son next to him, and he looks up, he goes, I am so, so sorry. You didn't deserve that. I go, it's okay. How can I help you? A soft answer turns away wrath. If I'd have yelled back, I'm sure we'd have had a couple choice words back and forth. But don't sow the seeds you don't want the harvest. I learned that lesson. You don't know how many times I've used a soft answer when someone's angry or mad. And it seems just to calm them down. And Bobby goes, how do you do that? Soft answer turns away raft. Sow better seeds. You want to fight with your boss? Yell back at him. Tell me how well that goes. Understand that Jesus put himself in front of God's anger on the cross. You ever think about that? He put himself in front of the anger of God. That to me is amazing. And he did it because he loves you. And he didn't have to. Scripture said he was crucified from the foundation of the earth. But Jesus says, I don't have to do this. You understand, I can call angels down. I can take this planet over now. It's not a problem. But how would Dennis be saved? How would Gayleen be saved? How would Dwayne be saved? He knew what had to take place. And Isaiah can now see that God has a plan and purpose, not only for Israel, but for the whole world. I don't know how many people in here are Jewish, but I'm not. But God loves you just the way you are, but too much to leave you like you are. There's work to be done. And then he goes, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Kind of interesting because joy is the result of salvation. Hence my brother. Comes in, he's smiling, he's happy. Joy is a result of your salvation. When people tell me they're saved and they go, oh, I'm doing penance. I got to pray. And I'm like, time out. Why does anybody want to be with you when you're like always, Oh, I'm humdrum. And I'm like, no. Lift up your countenance. Put a smile on your face. Teresa, how are you doing? It's good to see you. Thank you for coming tonight. Not hard, is it? I don't know how many times I look at people and I'm like, have you ever read Why So Downcast? Oh, my soul, put your hope in God. Well, my church says I got to be this way for 30 days. Oh, boy. What church do you go to? Because I don't want to attend. Where is there joy in misery? Misery loves company. But lighten up the group. I shared some with Gayleen a while ago. I read an article about a lady that came down with cancer. Now she's mad at God. She's really upset. She goes there. She's frowning. She's in this room, and everybody's room depressed and cordoned, even her. And as she leaves, she tells God, I can't believe that I'm your child and I have cancer. God said, did you look around that room? She got quiet. Did you see any joy or hope in that room? She didn't say a word. Maybe they need a little cheering up and a little hope and a little bit of light. And she goes, it hit me like a ton of bricks. She goes, next week, I went into that chemo area and I brought brownies and cookies. And I said, here you go, have some brownies and cookies. And she goes, I brought a little joy to everybody in that room. And a little bit of peace and a little bit of comfort. And guess what she became? A light to those in the room. Don't cuss and scream and holler and think you're going to witness to anybody. Be a little light. I like what Terry Bradshaw's dad used to tell him. His dad was a preacher, said, boy, you're not fully dressed till you got a smile on your face. Be a witness. Isaiah now is smiling. He is happy. He writes a psalm, and he says, thank you. Thank you for not giving up on us. Can't we say the same thing? Thank you, God, for not giving up on me. He knows there's hope. We see the hope. We have Christ. Joy is our portion, and Christ is the never-failing well. God takes your depression and gives you hope. Enjoy. You see how that works? You give God your garbage, he cleans you up and gives you joy. Amen. Sounds fair to me. I like that. Here, God, you take my anger, my frustration, my bitterness, my wrath, and you bring in my life peace and joy. Fair trade to me. I lived in misery way too long. But when I found Christ, it shook me to the core. I was happy. There was joy. First time I could lay my head down and have peace. No condemnation. Just love. Galatians 5:22-23, it said, but the fruit of the Spirit, fruit, not fruits. People say fruits all the time. It's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience with that guy that just cut you off in traffic. I'm preaching the choir. Some days I'm like, my patience is thin today, God. All right, so patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self. Control. Against such, there's no law. So when I see you Sunday, I want to see you smiling. I want to see joy upon you. And I still expect a hug. We're all one family. Fruit. In other words, this fruit comes by the Spirit of the living God. All right? So when anger's upon you, that ain't part of the fruit. when you don't have patience with that child of yours, that isn't fruit. I don't understand, and I'm going to say it. The Catholic Church, they did so much penance and stuff. I looked at my mom, and I said, Mom, you're always depressed. Well, this is what they tell me to do. No. Put a little joy in your heart. Sing a little song. Get a little tap going. I'm like, why do you think people want to be depressed? They've been that way their whole life. They want to see a little bit of joy and happiness. Can the church be happy? Yes. Can we? Can we smile at people? Can we say good morning? I go around all the job sites, say, good morning, how are you guys doing? Good morning, Dwayne. Shed some light. Fruit of the Spirit is love. If you got love, you're going to have joy. You might have to work on your patience, but you'll have peace. Kindness will help. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They help. How are we going to be a living witness or a testimony if we don't have none of them? Can we love one another? I always felt it was easier to love one another than hate one another. Hate, I got to think of what I don't like about you. Love's easy. Love your smile. Thank you for dinner. Was that so hard? Okay, I'm going to have to close up here. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right? John 4:14, if I can find my right notes. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up living eternal life. Got it. What is he saying? The Holy Spirit ought to flow out of you. When it flows out of you, you do have joy, peace, kindness. Anger flows out of you. What do you have? Trouble. Honestly, anger brews trouble. I know, I've been in plenty of bar fights. You don't have to tell me. I've been there. I've done that. Okay? I know what anger gives. In that day, verse 4, it says, give praise to the Lord, which would be Yah. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. What has God done for you? Salvation is good enough. If it's the least he did, it's more than the world's given you. What did he say? Proclaim, I'm born again. I'm saved. I got joy. I got peace. I'm born again. Why don't we shout it out? Behold, I'm saved. By the way, I got to tell that to about 300 guys this week. I got to tell them all one time, Jesus loves you. They had me talk about Suicide Awareness Month, which is now. So I tried to leave the guys with a little bit of encouragement, and I always tell them, do you know Jesus loves you guys? All my bosses got quiet. And I said, I dare one of them say I can't say that. None of them did, but I was waiting. I had one boss there, didn't look real happy, and I said, I don't care. I am to be a light. That's what I'm called to. I'm called to be light. Okay, so the psalmist wants you to join him in praising Yahweh. Pretty cool. You know, I can see Isaiah sitting there thinking, oh my God, judgment, judgment. And all of a sudden he says, gets a little tap, says, I'm okay. God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me. He got a little joy. Okay. Isaiah 12:2. Now he sings this song of the Lord to whoever will listen. If Yahweh has become your song, then sing it. If God is your salvation, why don't we worship? Is he not worthy? Good question. Is God worthy of your praise? Is he? I mean, honestly, I never understand why I meet Christians are depressed. tell them, do you read your Bible? It starts there. I was depressed when I first read the Bible. Probably the first time I got through it. I go, man, I'm a mess. I mean, this book slapped me every way. I was like, man. And then I read, there's a Savior. So I am a mess. God loves me right where I was, but he didn't want to leave me that way. So when God's disciplining you, he ain't angry with you. He says God disciplines those he loves. Life's lessons are sometimes hard. But I promise you this. He loves you. But he ain't going to leave you that way. He has a bright plan and future for you. Question is, will you finish what he's called you to do? If you're on this planet, he's not done with you. He's not done with me. He won't be done with me till I get to glory. So he's not done with you. He wants to use each and every one of you. But it's going to take a smile on your face, a little joy in your step, and peace in your heart. Amen? Amen. So like Isaiah, we need to learn to worship God. I was so happy when I looked at Isaiah and I thought, man, I would have been down to keep Assyria's getting conquered, Israel's getting conquered, Judah's getting conquered, but all of a sudden it says, salvation is here. And he got excited. Our salvation is here. Let's get a little excited. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you are God. How do I say thank you enough, Father? You gave me Jesus. You gave me the most important thing you ever had. Thank you. Thank you for Christ crucified for my sins. Father, the reality of what your love is deep, Father. And to all those in here, Father God, I ask that you bless them. Reveal yourself more and more to them, Father God. Draw them closer to you so some of them can have more joy and more peace. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dang, I got 40 minutes in there.